Please join me in a prayer for illumination. As you spoke to the legions, O God, speak now to the forces that surround us. By your Spirit, let the world illumine the darkness, and let your light break through our delusion, that we may see your truth. Amen. Today's gospel reading is in Luke chapter 8, verses 26 through 39, and can be found on page 1606 in the Pew Bible. They sailed to the region of Gerasenes, which is across the lake from Galilee. When Jesus stepped ashore, he was met by a demon-possessed man from the town. For a long time, this man had not worn clothes or lived in a house, but had lived in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell at his feet, shouting at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, don't torture me." But Jesus had commanded the impure spirit to come out of the man. Many times it had seized him, and though he was chained hand and foot and kept under guard, he broke him from his chains and was driven by the demon into solitary places. Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" "Legion," he replied, because many demons had gone into him, and they begged Jesus repeatedly not to order them into the abyss. A large herd of pigs was feeding on there on the hillside. The demons begged Jesus to let them go into the pigs, and he gave them permission. When the demons came out of the man, they went to the pigs, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and was drowned. When those tending the pigs saw what had happened, they ran off and reported this, and then they came into Jesus. They found the man from whom the demons had gone out, sitting at Jesus' feet, dressed in his right mind, and they were afraid. Those who seen it told the people how the demon-possessed man had been cured. Then all the people of the region of Gerasenes asked Jesus to lead them, because they were overcome with fear. So he got into the boat and left. The man from whom the demons had gone out begged to go with him, but Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return home and tell how much God has done for you." So the man went away and told all over the town how much Jesus had done for him. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, as we examine this story of demon possession and how Jesus healed this man, we ask that you would also bring us healing through your word and grace. May you bless the words of my mouth. May they be pleasing to you. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. So, there's not a lot of hymns in the Bible about demons. And so I love that we have a hymn named "Silence, Frenzied, Unclean Spirit." Isn't that like the greatest title of all time for a hymn? Dick and I were laughing about it this week. So this scripture is all about demon possession. So I want to start off today telling you about an experience that I had 19 years ago. 2000, the year was 2000, and Warner Brothers, the movie company, re-released a movie in theaters nationwide, which many people consider to be the scariest movie ever made. The 1973 infamous classic, The Exorcist. Oh, my best friend and I were there opening weekend. I had never seen this movie, and my buddy Landon said, "Oh, we're going. We're going to see The Exorcist on the big screen." Now, my best friend and I were there, and in it is about a 12-year-old girl named Reagan who is possessed by a demon, and there are these two Catholic priests that show up to her house and attempt to exorcise the demon out of her. The majority of the film is this grand struggle between the demon-possessed girl and the priests. Now, word of warning, this movie is quite graphic and disturbing. So don't just go home today and say, "Hey, family, let's get together and watch The Exorcist." Somebody will end up crying if you do that. It took me days to get over the impact of this movie after seeing it in the theater that day. It's one of those movies where you come out of the theater at night and you go into the parking lot and you start looking out for demons who may be out there to get you. And I bring The Exorcist up because I think it has a significant influence on how we view demon possession in a person. And while the movie is a bit outlandish and over the top, it does depict possession in a way that gives us a good window and what it would have been like to see possession in the Gospels. Reagan, in the movie, floats in the air above her bed. She speaks different languages and speaks in different voices. She walks down the stairs backwards on her hand in one scene, and other terrifying acts. But most importantly, she is utterly isolated and tormented by the demon that has taken possession over her body. She cannot express her own needs or wants. She is a prisoner. Now, I think this is a good description for the man that Jesus meets the minute he sets foot in Gerasenes, Gentile territory. The demon-possessed man was isolated in every sense of the word. He had been driven out of town because they could not keep him shackled. He would break the shackles. He was naked. He was homeless, living in the tombs outside of town. This is a very clear metaphor that the author is trying to portray to you, that this man is more dead than he is alive. When the man sees Jesus, he doesn't put up a fight like in the movie The Exorcist. The demon doesn't try to fight Jesus, but instead, the demon immediately falls down in humbleness and begs Jesus not to destroy them or send them back down, as they call, the abyss. Throughout the Gospels, it is interesting that we see that it is not the humans who recognize Jesus' powers at first. It is, in fact, the demons who witness most clearly to Jesus' authority and power. And this is no exception. Jesus asked for the demon's name, because in that time, if you knew someone's name, you had power over them. And Jesus asked, "What's your name?" And the demon says, "My name is Legion," which was a term used in reference to the Roman military, legions of soldiers. Now, the significance of this name would not have been lost on the original hearers of this story. They would have all been familiar with the Roman legions who conquered and dominated anybody who dared to stand in their way. The presence of Roman legions and Gerasenes constantly reminded the people of who was in control. It was at once oppressive and demoralizing. So here we have a man who is possessed by a legion of demons who took control of his body, just like the Romans would take control of a city in that region of the world. Scholar Plutarchio Bonilla states, "The demon-possessed man represents the condition of the city and the people themselves, confused and forced to take on an identity that was not their own." Jesus, by meeting this man, realized that he embodies a larger struggle, a people who are not free to govern themselves or choose for themselves who they want to be because of Roman oppression. You could argue that this man is possessed by Roman oppression in a way, because that's what his name is. Now, the demons They see Jesus, and they freak out, right? And they go, please don't send us back into the abyss. Please, anything. We'll do anything. Don't send us back into the abyss. And they end up asking Jesus permission to go into a herd of pigs that is nearby. All right, first off, you need to remember that if they were in Israel, there would not be a herd of pigs nearby. Why? Because pigs were unclean and they did not eat pork. All right? This is a reminder that they're not in Israel. They are in Gentile territory. The fact that there's a herd of pigs over here, okay? That's important. He's trying to tell you something. And Jesus says, all right, you know, go for it, guys. Go off into those pigs. Take possession of the pigs. And they do, and the herd of pigs immediately rushes down a steep bank into a lake, and they all drown. Now, I think this would have been really funny to a Jewish Christian. I think at this point of the story, they would have started laughing. Because the Jewish listener wouldn't have cared about a herd of pigs. Like, oh, of course. They go in the unclean animals and they all kill themselves. Phenomenal. Who needs more pigs? We don't. No one would have objected to a herd of unclean pigs dying, and the irony of pigs falling to their death immediately after they're possessed is pretty funny. You could almost hear the demons saying as the pigs are running down the cliff, "Oh no!" But the point of this that I think Jesus is trying to get across is that the ways of evil are always destruction, right? So even if the demons go into the pigs, it's not going to work out great for them because they are evil. Clear and simple. Always destruction, not life, but death. But there's another angle of this story that I kind of want to dig into a little bit that I think you probably haven't considered when you've ever heard a sermon on this scripture. And it has to do with the pig business. I think while Jewish folks would not have been concerned about the plight of the pigs, I wondered if the people of Gerasene would have been quite upset. Scholar David Forney tells us that the loss of this large herd would have had a massive impact on the community. It would have been a financial loss to those who owned the herd, as well as a loss of a potential food source for everyone in Gerasenes. And it may not have been a surprise that the citizens of Gerasenes wanted Jesus out of there after this happened. He literally took away their bacon. Some things, like taking away your bacon, are unforgivable. Fellow bacon lovers in here? Come on. Yeah, you know. You know what's up. Now, when you look at it from this perspective, Jesus allowing the demons to possess the bacon that they're going to later have seems pretty messed up. Why would Jesus do such a thing? Why would he allow such a thing to happen? Couldn't he have found a way to get those demons somewhere else? Why did it have to go into the pigs? Of a huge food source for this community. We need to remember that after this aftermath was caused by Jesus exorcising the demons out of this man who had been exiled from their community. The man was liberated. The man was restored to the community at the end of the story. He is no longer tormented. He is no longer isolated. So perhaps this pig business was reminding the people of Gerasenes and reminding us that restoration, true restoration, reconciliation of a community comes with a cost. Somewhere down the line, you're going to have to give something up. That if we are working for peace and we're working for health for all of us, there will be a financial and emotional cost to ourselves and to the entire community. We will have to be able to let go of how things used to be and embrace what God wants us to be going forward. Anyone who has worked with those in poverty or homelessness knows very well the cost involved in making life more tolerable for those folks. Creating a community where all people can thrive and grow will require investment, a cost from all of us. Not only our comfort, but our reputation as well. If we are doing it right, people will accuse us of what Jesus was accused of, hanging around the wrong kinds of people. But that is what the blessed community of Christ is supposed to be. A place where there is always room at the table. A place where demons have no authority or power. A place where love reigns supreme. To make it possible, we might need to lose some bacon. What is the bacon in your life that you need to give up in order to make life more tolerable for those in this community? We might need to give up our pretenses, our overflow of wealth, and perhaps our self-righteousness. And it won't always be received well. The people of Gerasenes were afraid of such sacrifice, and they asked Jesus to get the heck out of town. We don't need power like this. We don't want to make that kind of sacrifice. As Flannery O'Connor once said, the truth will set you free, and the truth will make you odd. Let us be a community of people, a community that people consider odd or strange because we dared to love too much. Because we dared to sacrifice to make this community a little better for everyone. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.